$200 billion chip deal, a $1 trillion national bet on semiconductors, and an AI that just autonomously executed a ransomware attack from start to finish. Welcome to the week the AI industry stopped feeling like the future and started feeling like the present. Hey everyone, welcome to AESkim IQ Weekly Digest. I'm Alice, joined as always by my co-host Max, and this is week 27 of 2026, honestly one of the densest weeks we've covered this year. We're talking hardware wars, biology-scale AI ambitions, robots on factory floors, and a governance crisis that's moving faster than any regulator can keep up with.
Dense is an understatement. I was going through the source material this morning, and I kept having to double-check dates. It genuinely felt like 3 weeks of news compressed into 7 days.
That's the pace we're at now. And what struck me most wasn't any single story, but how every thread this week, chips, models, robots, governance, they're all pulling in the same direction at once. We'll get into that in trends. But let's start with the story I think deserves the most attention.
I have a guess, but go ahead.
Anthropic, they had an enormous week. The headline product is Claude Science, a beta multi-agent workbench built specifically for life sciences researchers and the pharmaceutical industry. We're talking end-to-end research pipelines across genomics, proteomics, and cheminformatics with automatic citation verification built in. And CEO Dario Amodei is framing this explicitly as a, quote, Claude Code moment for biology.
Okay, so Claude Code was a genuinely big deal for software developers. It changed how people actually work. Is Amodei seriously suggesting this does the same thing for drug discovery?
That's exactly the claim. And it's not idle boasting. The logic is that if autonomous AI pipelines can compress the gap between hypothesis and validated experimental result, you're looking at a potential structural change in pharmaceutical R&D costs and clinical trial throughput. The stakes are just much higher than code review. And critically, Anthropic released Claude Sane 5 at the same time. $2 per million input tokens optimized for long-running agentic tasks, which gives the cost backbone to actually deploy Claude Science at scale.
So the model and the product drop together. That's deliberate.
Very deliberate. And the business context matters here too. Anthropic closed a $65 billion Series H at a reported $965 billion valuation, which briefly put them ahead of OpenAI in implied value. Investors are clearly buying the scientific AI thesis. There's a political wrinkle, though. Anthropic has kept a deliberate distance from the Trump administration's tech orbit, which creates real headwinds in Washington, even as the product roadmap looks strong.
That's a tension that's going to matter more and more as they try to land government contracts.
Exactly. Okay, let's move to hardware, because this week the Silicon story got very loud. Broadcom and OpenAI unveiled a custom AI chip called Jalapeno, yes, that's the actual name, as part of a $200 billion compute partnership. It's purpose-built for large language model inference, and it's a direct shot at NVIDIA's dominance in that space.
$200 billion is an almost incomprehensible number. What does that actually buy?
It buys strategic autonomy. Google has its TPUs, Amazon has Trainium, and now OpenAI has a chip partner that can challenge NVIDIA at hyperscale inference. But the broader story is even bigger than one partnership. This same week, Anthropic and Meta were both separately in advanced talks with Samsung Foundry for custom silicon. Anthropic is reportedly exploring a 2-nanometer process. And then you have Etched, which came out of stealth with $800 million raised and $1 billion in contracted sales already on the books. The inference chip market is fragmenting fast.
So NVIDIA is watching multiple fronts open up at once. That's a different competitive situation than even 6 months ago.
Right. And NVIDIA isn't standing still. They launched a revenue-sharing model called AI Compute Partnership and validated their Vera Rubin rack-scale platform with CoreWeave. But the structural shift is happening. The single-vendor dependency that defined the last 3 years of AI infrastructure is dissolving. And then layer on South Korea's announcement of a $1 trillion-plus chip, an AI investment package anchored by Samsung and SK Hynix. That's national governments deciding this is sovereign infrastructure, not just corporate competition.
$1 trillion. That's the kind of number that changes geopolitics.
It does. We'll come back to that in trends. Let's talk Google, because they had a very different kind of big week, one that's going to hurt a lot of startups. On June 30th, Google DeepMind launched two products, Nano Banana 2 Lite, a text-to-image model, and Gemini Omni Flash, a video generation model with conversational editing. Nano Banana 2 Lite generates images in 4 seconds at 3.4 cents each.
3 cents per image. How does any standalone image startup compete with that?
The honest answer is most of them can't on price alone. Google is using its distribution through Gemini Search and Notebook LM to subsidize these capabilities. It's a user retention feature for Google, not a revenue line. They even made personalized image generation free for eligible US users inside Gemini. And there's a product called Short Video Overviews in Notebook LM now, 60-second vertical videos generated from uploaded documents. That's not a flashy demo.
That's a utility tool millions of people will actually use.
Meanwhile, OpenAI's Sora shut down this week. That timing is brutal.
It really is. Sora's gone. Higgsfield AI is scrambling to raise $300 to $500 million at a $5 billion valuation. ByteDance's Seedance 2.5 showed up on Top View. The video space is in genuine flux. The era where you could charge a separate subscription for image generation, video generation, and audio tools separately is ending. The platforms are absorbing all of it.
That's a painful consolidation if you're a mid-tier generative media startup right now.
Very painful.
Okay, let's shift to something that gave me genuine pause this week. Robotics. Because the headline is BMW formally deploying Figure AI's third-generation humanoid robot, Figure 03, at its plant Spartanburg logistics operation in South Carolina. This follows an 11-month trial where the earlier Figure 02 supported production of more than 30,000 BMW X3 vehicles.
30,000 vehicles. So this isn't a pilot anymore. This is real production scale.
That's the significance. Tier 1 automotive is one of the most demanding manufacturing environments on Earth in terms of precision, safety, and uptime requirements. If humanoids work there, the addressable market expands enormously. And then the same week, Agility Robotics went public via a SPAC merger, becoming the first US-listed pure-play humanoid equity at a $2.5 billion valuation, with Amazon as a client. Boston Dynamics unveiled a redesigned Atlas, and in China, Agibot hit a milestone of 15,000 wheeled semi-humanoid robots deployed.
The hardware race seems to be going well then. What's the catch?
The catch is that hardware is no longer the bottleneck. Data is. Getting diverse, high-quality real-world training data for robots operating in unstructured environments is the hard problem now. Aptronic just launched a dedicated robot training hub in partnership with Google DeepMind specifically to address this. South Korea's trillion-dollar pledge explicitly targets commercial humanoid deployment by 2028,
which tells you how seriously governments are taking the second-half challenge of making these things genuinely general purpose.
So the supply chain is maturing. The data infrastructure is being built. This is starting to feel like an industry rather than a research project.
Exactly. And that maturation makes the last story even more urgent, because AI agents, the software kind, are scaling even faster than robots, and the governance situation is genuinely alarming. Senator Mark Warner unveiled the AI Agent Act this week, a Senate draft bill that would establish FTC security standards and require human ownership accountability for AI agents operating online.
Gartner's projection is that average Fortune 500 companies could be running more than 150,000 AI agents by 2028. In 2025, the average was fewer than 15.
That is an almost vertical growth curve. What's driving the urgency on Warner's bill?
Partly the scale projections, but there's a concrete security event that probably accelerated things.
Microsoft published research this week showing that poisoned model context protocol tool descriptions, that's MCP, the standard agents use to interact with tools, can silently redirect agents to exfiltrate sensitive data through normal enterprise workflows. And separately, there's now a confirmed real-world case where an AI agent exploited a known Langflow vulnerability to autonomously execute a full database ransomware attack. From intrusion to encryption, no human in the loop.
That's the thing that keeps me up at night, honestly. Not science fiction, an actual event this week.
And the privacy dimension compounds it. An analysis published July 2nd
found that 96% of organizations plan to expand agent use, but more than half cite data privacy as their biggest obstacle. And the vendor privacy terms most of them are relying on were written for deterministic software, not for agents that read your email, file your insurance claims, and browse the web on your behalf. The regulatory frameworks are not keeping pace. The Trump administration remains deregulatory. The outgoing tech advisor confirmed the president opposes a centralized AI regulator, while the EU is heading in the opposite direction architecturally. That divergence is going to matter.
So we have acceleration without guardrails, basically.
That's the thread that ties this whole week together, honestly. Let's zoom out for trends, because I think there are three or four patterns here that are bigger than any individual story. The first is what I'd call simultaneous acceleration and fragmentation. Inference is getting dramatically cheaper. DeepSeek and Peking University open-sourced a speculative decoding framework called DeepSpark this week, showing 60 to 85% speed gains. Custom silicon is multiplying, agentic deployment is scaling fast in enterprises, but every one of those acceleration vectors is generating a corresponding governance or security gap that nobody is closing in real time.
And the second pattern I keep seeing is what I'd call the nationalization of AI. Portugal launched a sovereign language model called Amália for 7 million euros, the first open LLM built specifically for European Portuguese. The EU is backing a 24-language consortium, South Korea's trillion-dollar pledge, China's Meituan training on domestic chips. AI capability is increasingly being treated as sovereign infrastructure, not a global commodity anyone can just buy from a cloud provider.
That's a fundamental shift in how governments think about this technology. And the third pattern connects robotics to the broader industry. The scarce resource has moved. It's not model capability, it's not raw compute anymore, it's high-quality, domain-specific training data. We see that in robotics with the push for real-world training hubs, and we see it in enterprise AI, where the companies pulling ahead are the ones with proprietary data moats.
And then there's the pricing war. Google, DeepSeek, ZAI entering the US market with a free coding tool, which is great for enterprises adopting AI, but is absolutely compressing margins for mid-tier application layer companies. I'd watch for consolidation among that tier in Q3.
Definitely. Looking ahead, ICML 2026 opens in Seoul next week with a record 23,918 submissions, more than double any prior year. And agentic AI safety is topping the research agenda for the first time. That's a signal the academic community is catching up to the urgency. And global venture funding hit $510 billion in the first half of 2026, surpassing all of 2025. The money is not slowing down. The question is whether the guardrails can keep up with the capital.
Week 28 is going to be interesting.
That's your weekly digest. I'm Alice with Max. See you next Sunday. Want to support the show? There's a Buy Me a Coffee link on this episode's page on the website.